preparing for it, of what you could have done for God now. What you could have done for God now. We're going to realize then, at the judgment seat of Christ, what we could have done now. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, starting in verse number 1, please. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself into Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us, as we said in the adult Bible study, not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? As I said, this sermon is then part two. Then part two. There's three parts that I want to talk to you about this morning, about what you could have done for God and what you could have been for God if you had kept the judgment seat of Christ in the forefront of your thoughts and in your thinking. Too often we neglect the realization that one day we're going to stand before God. And we neglect that one day we're going to give an account before God. And so what we do is we fluff it off, we put it off, and we try not to think about it because it can be very, very terrifying, knowing that you and I are going to stand before God one day and give an account. Well, since last week I dealt with judging, and I went through a lot of verses concerning judging, we judging, God judging, and others judging. This morning I'm going to talk about three subject matters of what you ought to think about that you can do and be for God now that you're going to realize you could have been and could have done for God then. And it'll be too late then. Take your Bible, please. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4 first. 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4, in verse number 16, the Bible says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." Notice the next three words. It says, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. It's very important you understand, first off, that God is love. Our society today and our world today has switched those words around and made it love is God. In other words, whatever your definition of love is, whatever you're thinking of love is, that is your God. And so you're chasing whatever your false definition of God is. The Bible is very clear that God is love. And if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your God, as your Savior, you do not know what love is. Because love starts with God. And the first thing I want to talk to you about, what you could have done and what you could have been, is the word love. You're going to be shocked how little we knew about love. You're going to be shocked how much little people love God. I would pay attention. If I were you, I'd pay attention this morning. If I were you, I'd listen up, face forward, okay? Try not to be a distraction, and don't be a distraction. And don't be distracted. This is very important because everybody's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to give an account one day. And I'm telling you, I think one of the major things that we're lacking in today's society and in churches today is love. we do not know God. We do not know love. We don't know how to love people. We don't know how to love God. And it's very clear in the Bible says here that God is love. As a matter of fact, since we're in 1 John, take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter number 2, and we'll go through some of these verses, verse number 4. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 4. And let's see what God says about love. And just in this book alone, 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's strong language. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So it's very clear, God says in verse 4, he that keepeth not his commandments is a liar. If you say that you're saved and you don't keep his commandments, you're a liar. And in verse 5, he says, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Now, the word perfected in the Bible is mature or grown up, okay? So we know that we love God when we keep his commandments to the best of our ability, and we're perfected in his love. Look at chapter number 2, verse number 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Verse number 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's strong language. Because how many of us are not guilty of loving something that is in the world, and God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I was preaching one time, I don't know, it was Wednesday night or Sunday night, you were probably there, and I said, I love hunting. And the deacon pipes up and says, well, how about the Bible says, love not the things of the world? And I had to say, you're right. I'm sorry. But how easily we say things that we love this kind of a food, or I love this weather, or I love this, or I love whatever you like. We have a perverted view of love. And we put other things before God, and then we suffer the consequences of not loving properly. We don't know how to love each other unless we learn it from God. We don't know how to love inside of a marriage or children or parents or church or the world or the lost souls. We don't know how to love people properly unless we get it from God. And God very clearly says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty clear. If you love the world or the things that are in the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You're loving something or someone more than God. And not saying that you shouldn't love people, but when you put people ahead of God, you got the wrong order. Let's keep reading here. Chapter number 3, verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I mean, when we see him, then we're going to realize, oh no, I could have loved God, I could have loved people, I could have loved the word of God, and I could have done those things that God said I should have been doing, but I loved the wrong things instead. And what you're going to face at the judgment seat of Christ, if you're saved, you're going to stand there and you're going to give an account of everything. The first thing I think you're going to realize is that God is love, and we messed up. And we didn't love God. We thought we did, but we didn't love God. Do you know how many people say they love the Word of God, they love the Bible, but they don't even have the King James Bible? They're in for a shock when they stand before God. I said, they're in for a shock. They say, oh, I love the Bible. And they don't even have a King James Bible. You don't even know what the Word of God is. But we say it so flippantly. So, oh, I love God, and I love life, and I love people, and oh, I love church. You don't even have the right kind of a church. You don't know what kind of church you should have. And you just say, oh, I love, you flippantly say, I love church. You know, Jesus Christ and John the Baptist and the Apostle Paul wouldn't be invited in 99.9% of all churches in America today. They'd preach one time and they'd either never be back again, or the whole church would empty out just about. We don't even know what kind of a godly church is, because we don't have the right kind of an idea or perception or belief of what love really is. You go from lust to lust. You go from want to want. You go from desire to desire. God doesn't change, ladies and gentlemen. John chapter number 3 and verse number, do we read 14 yet? John chapter number 3, verse number 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Look at verse, do we read verse number 9? Look at that, verse number 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Verse number 13 now, 14. I have written unto you, fathers. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Somebody ought to yell at me. That's all. It's all good anyway, amen. John chapter number 3, verse number 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. If you can't get along with your brother, you got the problem. I don't care if he's obnoxious. I don't care if he's not right with God. I'm just telling you, God says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I mean, the person that you don't like, do you pray for them? The person that bothers you the most, do you pray for them? I mean, do you honestly love them? In other words, you're wanting what's best for them, to help them, to encourage them, or you just want to mock them, criticize them, and hate them? Verse number 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? I mean, there are people hurting today, ladies and gentlemen. And we just, like the Pharisee on one end, right? And the priest on the other end, they passed by the fellow that was half dead. You know, we're too busy. I'm sorry, I'm late for an appointment. Why, the guy's bleeding to death. Their enemy, the Samaritan, stopped by to help him, because we're too busy to love people. Because you know what? We're really shallow. Most people are. I'm talking about God's people. We can't get along with people. We're easily agitated. We're ticked off. It bothers us because we don't know how to love people. Aren't you glad that God loved you before you loved him? Aren't you glad God thought about you before you thought about him? Aren't you glad that God had patience for you before you even thought about him? Aren't you glad that God was looking for you and cared about you? Well, if that's how God was towards us, that's how God says we ought to be to other people. Look at this, verse number 16. We read 16? Yeah, 17. 18, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Anybody can get on Facebook and say, oh, I love God. That doesn't mean you love God. Anybody can just say the words, oh, I love God. That doesn't mean you love God. God says here, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Chapter number 4, verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for, there it is again, God is love. I believe the first thing you and I are going to face when we see God, we're going to realize how shallow our love really was. See, love is sacrificing. Love is giving yourself. Love is putting God and others before you. That's why, you know, parents don't love their children. They don't care about their kids, man. They care just about themselves. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. All right, so somebody's giving you a tough time. Somebody's trying to make your life difficult on purpose. You know what God said? Love them anyway. Verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how could he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Very clear. How can you love God whom you have not seen, but say, I hate my brother whom you have seen? And God says, we're liars. What I'm saying is, I believe one of the first things we'll see and realize at the judgment seat is our lack of love towards God and others. The Bible says in Matthew 24, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Our problem is a lack of love. We do not love God right. We do not love others right. We do not love the Word of God, the King James Bible, as we ought to. We do not love church as we ought to. We do not love people as we ought to. We do not love God as we ought to. We don't have a love for the King James Bible. If we love him, we'd keep his commandments. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Compassion for the lost people is almost lost on God's people. The Bible says his commandments are not grievous. Look at chapter number 5, verse number 2. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Watch this. And his commandments are not grievous. You're going to realize then, I could have done it. I could have lived for God. I could have loved God. I could have loved people. And I wasted the only life I had in vanity, in vain. And you're going to realize it's too late now. I could have loved God the way I was supposed to love God. I could have loved people the way I was supposed to love people. James 1 says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Revelation 2 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember when you got saved, how much you loved God? How much you loved the Word of God? How much you loved church? Well, what happened? Well, as we read, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Your love for God waned. Your love for the Word of God waned. Your love for church waned. Then you got mad at somebody else. You said some things you regret. You did things you regretted. Now you're down the road of not having loved God and people the way God said. And then you're going to end up in the judgment seat. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We'd rather yoke up with the world than with God. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The Bible says in Proverbs, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You're going to realize at the judgment seat, when it's too late, I could have got along with my wife. I could have got along with my husband. I could have gotten along with my neighbor. I could have gotten along. I realize now that it was my fault that I didn't get along with my coworker. Because if you love God, even your enemies will be at peace with you. Number one, we're going to realize how much we lack love. Number two, take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter number 12. I have 3 points. Can you imagine? I have 3 points in a sermon. Hebrews chapter 12. The first is a lack of love. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 14. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Point number one was love. Point number two, holiness. You hardly hear anything about holiness anymore. Hardly hear anything about holiness preaching anymore or holiness living anymore. But God said in 1 Thessalonians 4, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Isaiah 35 verse 8 says, and an highway shall be there in a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err. What we're going to realize at the judgment seat, we could have lived a holy life. We could have lived a separated life. It wasn't as difficult as you make it out to be. It's not as difficult as you want to believe it is. Pastor, that's good for you, but I can't live that way. That's what God says that you can. God says that everybody can. And you're going to realize how easy it was to live for God at the judgment seat when it's too late. You're not going to have a chance, a second chance to go back and do it over again. Leviticus 11 says, I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. He said, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. He said in Leviticus, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. He further said in Leviticus chapter 20, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people that ye should be mine. He said in Deuteronomy 23, the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that ye see no unclean thing in, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. I'm all for armies. I'm all for the Marines. I'm all for guns. I'm all for military. Nothing can replace the power of God. Nothing can replace the protection of God. Nothing can protect. Nothing can replace the hedge that God can put around somebody. But when you get your eyes off of God, you put them on things of the world. 1 Peter said, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I said the first thing is we're going to realize how much we don't love God and people. The second thing, we're going to realize how we could have lived a holy, separated life for God, and we chose not to because we made some excuse. And it won't fly the judgment seat because 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 13 is still in the book. For us today, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, this is one of the first verses I memorized after I got saved, ladies and gentlemen. You ought to mark this down and memorize it. There hath no temptation taken you. I don't care what your addiction is. I don't care what your hang up is. I don't care what your habit is. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care what your heartache is. I don't care how bad you think it is. I don't care what you've gone through. I don't care if you've been molested. I don't care if you've been abused. I don't care if you've been tormented. It doesn't matter. God's very clear. The Bible says there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You've heard the saying, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. That's true if you trust God. That's only true if you trust God. Because if you're not trusting God and loving God, it will kill you. And it will probably kill somebody else. And you're not going to be able to take the pressures and the burdens and the heartaches. And that's why people are flipping out today, man. People are losing it. They're going bonkers today. They're throwing in the towel. They're giving it up. They're walking away from their families, from responsibility, because they don't love God. And they say, well, I can't live that way, Pastor, where God says you can. And you're going to realize at the judgment seat when it's too late, I could have stayed away from that sin. I could have broken that addiction. I could have said no. I could have lived for God. And it'll be too late then. It'll be too late. We're going to realize how shallow our love really is. We have a selfish desire, a selfish want, a selfish like, a selfish love. And I put that in quotes. We love you if you just love me. I'll be your friend if you'll be my friend, you know. You want to like me? You want to friend me? That's how idiotic our friendships are today. That's how low our morality and our thinking is today. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. You're able, with God's help, to withstand all temptations. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You just chose not to. You chose not to love God. You chose not to love the Word of God. You chose something else other than holiness and separation and to live a sanctified life. You chose to run to sin, not away from sin. God would never give you something in your life that you can't handle or deal with. You're just going to blame God and everybody else for your problems. God says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? He said in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will restore you. You can do that today. You're going to realize it then when it's too late. You're going to realize it then that you could have loved God. You could have loved people. You could have lived for God. You just think it's embarrassing now. You think people want to mock you and laugh at you. And so your ego is more important to you. How you people perceive you is more important to you. Your pride is more important to you. Isaiah 14, please. Isaiah 14. I want you to read this. Isaiah 14. This was Satan's downfall here. Lucifer. Verse number 10. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Isaiah 14, verse number 10. It's talking about Satan now. Art thou become like unto us? Verse 11. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee and the worms cover thee. Art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which this weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, and this is why people copy Satan right here. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now watch this, please. They that see thee, and you're going to see this. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon. You know how you narrowly, you know when you make your eyebrows like that, you look like that, you're concentrating or thinking. You're going to say, is that the man? Is this really happening? Look what it says. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? That opened not the house of his prisoners? You're going to say, is this the man that tempted me to ruin my life? Is this the man that made me not to love God? Is this the man that made me not to love people? Is this the man that made me miss church? Is this the man that made me not to read my Bible? Is this the man that made me not to pray? Is this the man who made me not to care about other people? Then you're going to realize when it's too late that God had more power than Satan had. And you allow the devil to hoodwink you and to deceive you into thinking you can't do anything for God. And it'll be too late then. And you're going to look at him and say, is this the guy who ruined nations and kingdoms and countries and societies? This man here? When we had the word of God and all the power of God available to us? And it'll be too late. We stand before God. We're going to realize how shallow our love for God is. We stand before God, we're going to realize we could have lived for God. And number three, Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus 15. This is my last point. Exodus 15. Verse number 3. There is no excuse under heaven for you not to live right. Romans chapter number 1 says there is no excuse. We make up excuses why we can't do right. Exodus chapter 15, verse number 3. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Isaiah 78, verse 65 says, then, he's talking about prophecy about the Lord in the future. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep and like a mighty man that shouteth. In Isaiah 42, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry. And as we said before, cry in the Bible does not mean weep. Cry in the Bible does not mean shedding tears. Cry in the Bible is raising your voice, cry aloud. You know, the night crier used to be in a town, used to be the town crier, used to say, hear ye, hear ye. He used to tell everybody the news. Well, God's going to shout one day. God's going to cry one day. He's going to lift up his voice. And you're going to realize then, when it's too late, that God was a man of war. Yes, Jesus is the King of Peace. But the same Jesus is a man of war. The same Jesus who said to turn the other cheek was the same Jesus who overthrew the money tables and threw out the money changers out of the temple. You have the wrong picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't love him enough. We don't want to separate from the world to show him that we love him enough. And we don't realize who he really is. He says, I have long time holding my peace. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. He says, I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at one. You know, ladies, you gave birth. Easy delivery, wasn't it? No moans or groans. You didn't cry in pain or anything, did you? Unless you were doped up, man, you were screaming at the top of your lungs. Because as far as I know, it's the worst pain in the Bible, a woman giving birth. You have this wrong impression of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when he shows up, he's not going to be the Lamb of God like he was the first time. He's going to be the Lion from the tribe of Judah when he shows up the next time. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 5, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. You wait till the Lion from the tribe of Judah shows up at the judgment seat. It's not going to be your stained glass window picture of some queer hanging on a glass window. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of war, that shows up. And all your perceptions of God are going to go out the window. That's why Paul writes, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Psalm 52 says, lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. When you see this, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. You're going to see every knee bow, every tongue confess. Psalm 64 says, and all men shall fear and declare the work of God then. Too many people are focused more on people than on God. They want people more than God. They want to be with people more than God. They want people's favor more than God's favor. They want the people's love more than God's love. They want acceptance from the world and others instead of the blessings of Almighty God. They do not know or they forget that they will stand one day before a holy God all by themselves with no one else next to them, but that all others will be watching how shallow and how vain our lives really were, how selfish we really were, what our real motives and intentions really were. While we were blaming others, our children, our parents, our neighbors, our relatives, our friends, our acquaintances, our schools, our homes, our neighborhoods, our city, our town, our country, our state, our nation, our society. But it was really the individual himself that was his own worst enemy. You're going to find out that it was you that was fighting God because you yielded not, because you surrendered not to him. And you didn't realize the love of God. To live a separated, holy God, life before God. And that God himself is a man of war. That you're going to stand before one day. And then it will be too late. If I were you, I'd get right with God now. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, I'd get saved this morning. I don't know you. I don't know your heart, maybe. I don't know if you're saved or not. But I know this. I know God knows you. And you walked into the right sermon this morning because God had this plan for you individually. You may not live to see tomorrow morning. The best thing for you to do when you go out into eternity is be prepared to meet God. Prepare to meet God. Let's all stand, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for being such a wonderful God. My prayer is this morning, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, that they get saved this morning. And I pray, dear God, if there's anybody who is saved and they're not living right or doing right, dear Holy Spirit of God, please speak to our hearts. Convict us, dear God, about our need of doing right and getting right and being right. Because one day all of us are going to stand before you and give an account. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I was wondering how many in this room, if you're saved, you're born again, you remember a time you've asked Jesus to save your soul from hell. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one look around. You would lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. If I die now, I go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand if you're saved? If you're saved, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're here this morning. You could not raise your hand. You don't know where you're going to go when you die. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not, to be honest with you. I really don't know. But I would like to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell when I die. Would you pray for me? I won't come there. I won't embarrass you, just so I know how to pray silently. You see, would you say, Pastor, please pray for me. I would like to know for sure if I go to heaven when I die. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Would you say, with an uplifted hand, would you say, Pastor, please pray for me. I don't know where I'm going to go when I die. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Anyone else? Yeah, Pastor, please pray for me. I don't know where I'm going to go when I die. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for these here folks. Thank you for the hands that were raised. And I'm sure there's some folks in here that didn't raise their hands for anything. But I pray, dear God, that you bless. Dear Holy Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. For those who are not saved, to come down to the front and get saved this morning. For those who are saved, to realize one day we're going to stand before you. We're going to have a wake-up call like we've never thought. We're going to be sobered up like we never thought. We're going to realize that the life that we live was all in vain, chasing vanity. Oh, dear God, may we realize now not then, but now. We're going to realize then, but maybe realize now how much we ought to love you, to live for you, and to fear you. Bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying, please. God's people praying.